Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's quite relevant, all the songs we're singing today about the love of God. You know, a bit of the backstory as to why I'm here. I was tasked by Stefan to select, with a topic, actually, love, go for it. And, I mean, that's such a, I didn't know where to start when I was given this, because there's so much to say on love. I mean, half, if not more, songs written by men in all of history are about this very topic. It's such an important one. It's love that's at the very center of our Christian faith. As John 3:16 shows, the very famous verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without that love, the gospel doesn't happen, and we wouldn't be here. Without love, you wouldn't be sitting here today. And I don't mean a love like when a mommy and a daddy love each other very much. Not that kind of love, okay? So as I was meditating on this, on love, this Christian love, this godly love, I started asking the Holy Spirit for what to say. What do I say? And I just felt this conviction about all my failures to love, first and foremost, God, which is the greatest commandment. And then secondly, my many, many failures to love my brothers and sisters, my fellow man, even people in this congregation itself, how I failed to love them properly. You see, because of these failures, there's been many times in my life where I felt there must be something wrong with me, because I don't feel this strong affection for people all the time. And isn't that love? Isn't that what love is, the strong affection for people? At least it's that sort of love that's spoken about in the world and in all those songs that we've written. So to try and understand this love, I had to ask myself, okay, what love? I asked myself two questions. Number one, what love does God have that's spoken about in the Bible? And then secondly, what love does he command us to have for him and for others? So, unfortunately, English is not the best language to explore this question biblically. Due to the fact that you can say, I love pizza and I love my children, and we're supposed to know that you're not some cannibal that finds your offspring delicious. Okay? So looking at it, I went into, you know, what the New Testament is written in, which is Greek. And I like Greek because it has four different words for four different types of love. I won't go over the other three today, but the word that's used in the New Testament for how God loves and is always associated with God is agape. And we see this in Romans 5:8. God shows his own agape for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when I looked at that, I could see three things from this agape love, this love that's associated with God. Number one is that it's an act of the will. You see, love is not just a feeling. Who's ever heard love is a verb? Who's ever heard that saying? Yes? And that's so true, because anyone that's been in a long-term committed relationship will know that if your significant other just says, I love you, I love you, I love you, but they never actually do anything to show you that for weeks or months, you start beginning to doubt it, because, yeah, you say it, but you don't actually do anything to show it. Because we instinctively know this truth about love. It walks. It doesn't just talk. And I think, you know, the fact that it's not a feeling, it's an action. And something that really weighed on me was thinking about Jesus and how he displayed this agape love. And I was just thinking of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And for anyone that doesn't know, on the morning of Jesus' crucifixion, he's in the garden, early morning hours, with his disciples, and he's in anguish. He's praying and he's weighed heavily on his heart. He says, Lord, let this cup pass from me. You see, in that moment, he wasn't feeling a strong affection for people all the time. He was feeling stress and fear. Luke says that he was sweating drops of blood. That isn't poetic language. That's an actual condition that people go through. It's called, if I remember correctly, hematidrosis, where you are under so much fear and stress that your capillaries under your skin burst and blood leaks with your sweat. So much pressure and stress and fear Jesus was experiencing. But the second half of what he says really shows this agape act of the will. He says, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. It is a choice, because humans get it wrong. We think love is just an affection, and if I don't feel it, then I don't love you. That's not how God's love works. The second thing about agape that I saw is that it is a self-sacrificial love. We see in the verse that Christ laid down his own life in the demonstration of this love. This agape love is something that has someone give of themselves. You need to sacrifice something. It's either your time, your money, resources, skills, and to the greatest end, it'll cost you your own life. In John 15:13, Jesus speaking, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. See, this agape has to cost you something. It cost God everything. The Father gave up his only Son. The Son gave up his own life to demonstrate this agape love to us. You see, but what I love about this is that it wasn't only his friends that Christ laid down his life for, which leads me to the third and final point about this agape love, is that it is an undeserved or unearned love. See, as Paul states, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This shows us that none of us were in a condition that earned or deserved such a display of agape like that. We weren't God's friends. The complete opposite, we were his enemies. You see, we either hated him, or we couldn't really be bothered if he existed or not at some point in time in our lives. But then God intervened. He came and he saved us. And I think it's such a blessing to have grown up in the church. And I think anyone that's been saved later on in their life will tell children, like, it's really a blessing to never have been in a condition where you were antagonistic or had hatred or enmity with God. You grew up loving him and knowing his love. I think that's such a blessing. So I think we should be extremely grateful that God is someone that loves even his enemies. Because without that, none of us would be here today. So understanding what this agape looks like, it is an act of the will. It is self-sacrificial. It costs you something. And it is unearned or undeserved. Knowing these three things, and knowing that this is how God loves, I had to ask myself the second question. Is this the same love that God commands of you and me? Take note of Mark 12:30-31, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in Jewish law? Jesus speaking says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Both of those words there for love are the Greek word agapao, which is just the verb form of agape. So the very same love that God displays for you and for me is the same love that he commands us to show. He's not asking, he's not saying, hey, if you can, maybe you should show some love to people. Like, oh, if you can find some time, and if you can't, hey, it's okay. No, he commands it. He says, do it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I love that. It's not a half measure. It's not love me with some of your heart and a piece of your soul and as much strength as you can muster. God wants everything, all of it. And it's a commandment, not a suggestion. So once we understand that this very same love, this amazing, wonderful agape love that God displays for you and me is the same one that he commands of us, we need to ask ourselves, do I obey this command? Do I really? Some of us might be quick to think of some loved ones in our life, maybe our children, our spouses, parents, siblings, and think to ourselves, I think so. I think I do okay because I'd give up my life for them. I would sacrifice myself for my children or my spouse. So I think I'm doing pretty okay. But beloved, if we're honest with ourselves, like, we have to acknowledge that we don't even love the people that we love perfectly. I know myself, my failures, I've hurt, I've betrayed, I've lied to, I've disappointed many people in my life that I love. So if I don't even love the dearest people in my life properly, how am I loving my enemies? Because it's also our enemies that we should love in this very same manner. Jesus points out in Luke 6:32-35. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Why? For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And again, just to reemphasize this point, he says again in Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Loving our enemies, praying for those that persecute us, in an action of self-sacrifice that they do not deserve and cannot earn. Do any of us do this? Do you love your enemies that you may not feel a lot of affection towards, to the point of sacrificing yourself for them? Sacrificing something of yourself for them. Is such a thing even possible for us? Truthfully, if we look at the world around us, there doesn't seem to be many examples of mankind being able to generate this sort of love for our enemies. We have the tendency to constantly divide ourselves into any number of divisions, political views, religious views, gender, this one's stronger than that one, race, oh, my race is better than yours. We constantly divide ourselves and then want to conquer the enemy. So if this human nature is in us that wants to divide and conquer, how can we possibly begin to love in such an extreme manner? How can we love like God does? How could we possibly follow Jesus' example? Thankfully, the Lord gives the answer to that. First one is the Holy Spirit. As some of you may or may not know, of the many parts of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, patience, joy, peace, kindness, the greatest part of it is love. So those that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that have been born again and have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, only need to ask for more of this fruit to be cultivated within you. You see, because this love is something that is completely foreign to our sinful flesh, we cannot generate this kind of love. And it is so great a task that it requires the Holy Spirit himself to do it in you. Only God can make you love like this. No one else and nothing else. And that's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. He's our helper. So ask the Holy Spirit for help. Ask for this fruit to be cultivated and you will receive it. Now, who's ever heard that saying that when you ask the Lord for patience, he won't just give you patience, he'll give you situations and where you need to be patient. Who's ever heard of that? Yes? Because it's very true. So for something practical in those situations where you're dealing with an individual or a situation that's making it very hard for you to start exhibiting this kind of agape love, this self-sacrificial love, think about Jesus and what he's done for you. Truthfully, the gift of salvation that's been given to you. You see, some of you know that I come from the field of study of psychology, okay? And there's some exercises that therapists will have with dealing with situations that are making it very hard to love people. They might say, oh, you know, count backwards from 10, or hold your breath for 3 seconds. Who's ever heard of one of these things? like dealing with it. No, it's there. But I genuinely find it amusing because, I mean, try it with me. Breathe in deeply through your nose for a bit. Hold for 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. I feel like a new creation. Don't you? I'm not the same person I was 6 seconds ago. That's incredible. I don't know, the foolishness of men sometimes, honestly. You see, this action might prevent you from punching someone in the face or saying a very ugly thing to them to be more peaceable in the moment. But you see, you can still hate someone and not punch them or say something ugly to them. You can still be completely two-faced with people. You can appear all high and mighty and righteous to someone, but deep down, you're still rotten in the heart. And that really, it genuinely frustrates me because I've seen it happen even in the church. I've been guilty of this. I'm not innocent. I've been one to smile and be like, oh, nice to see you. Oh, good. Yes, no, we must organize a bra sometime. Then walk away and be like, oh, I'm not going to organize anything. I don't feel like hanging out with that person. Oh, I'm so happy for you. You got a promotion. Yes, you deserve everything. Yes, why did you get the promotion? I wanted the promotion. I've been here for like 5 years. He's only been here for 6 months. It's so easy for us to be so two-faced, to put on a mask and act like we love someone when honestly at the root of it, we don't. But the one thing that does deal with the heart, to the point of being humble and gracious and loving with people, is knowing that he who is love himself showed us the greatest expression of agape that all of creation will ever witness. And he did so while we were still vile, wicked enemies against him. You see, the gospel itself is one of the most powerful resources that we have against temptation, against spiritual dryness, and against hardness of heart. So in those times of anger and frustration, love the Lord with your mind by thinking about him, by thinking about what he's done for you and the gift that's been given to you. See, it's so easy to love when it's convenient, but it's hard to love when it's hard. It's hard to love when it really takes something from you. You know, I thought of this. Truthfully, I want a show of hands. If Pope Francis knocked on your door tonight, he's the current Pope, if anybody doesn't know, and he asked, "Ha, I'm hungry. Could I have a meal?" How many of you would let him in your house and share a meal with you? Yes? Yes? Maybe? Okay. Not many people love Pope Francis here, it seems. But then, second scenario, how many, if you open the door and there's a raggedy, poor, smelly, and really beaten up homeless person that knocks on your door and says, "Can I come have a meal to eat?" How many of us would be very willing and like excited to let him in and share a meal with us? Bless you, Marshall. Because honestly, when I think about the church globally, I don't think there's many people that would. We'd be much quicker to welcome in a wolf in sheep's clothing than welcome in a very dirty and maybe not a very attractive sheep. But in Jesus' eyes, who's closer to being the Pharisee in that situation? And I think that's a bit of an issue when we welcome in people that, and we love people that we can get something from. What an amazing story it'd be. Oh, I had dinner with Pope Francis. He shook my hand. We have pictures. But no one would do the same for the homeless person. Well, not many, put it that way. So, I actually just want to read from 1 John, because I think it's a beautiful summary of everything that I said. And I haven't given you the scripture, John, sorry. But if you can take anything from this, as a summary, I want to read 1 John verse, chapter 4, verse 7, and I'm going to go on. And please bear with me. It's a bit of scripture, but please just pay attention to every word. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, that in this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And I love this, and we need to get the order right here. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet does not have love for his brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves their father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we are the children of God, by loving and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And again, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. You see, I really want us to not focus on love being a feeling. Because like Jesus in the garden was feeling a lot of fear and stress, but still chose obedience to God's will. Agape happened, not because of a feeling. Do you think when the father was watching his son being slapped and spat on and his beard pulled out and whipped and beaten and mocked, do you think God was feeling a lot of love in that moment? If he did, I don't think it would be necessary for Jesus to say, "Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You see, the greatest good that has ever been done for mankind was through the greatest evil that has ever been done by mankind. And if you know anything about the Lord, is that he doesn't have positive affections towards evil. Yet God still chose to show this agape love. And we benefit from it greatly. So to close, I really want us to meditate on this idea of an agape, godly love as we go through the week. You see, it's this love that put you in your seat today. If God didn't save you, you wouldn't be here. It's this love that causes your hands and your hearts to raise Jesus up in worship. And it's through this love that Jesus himself said that others will know we are his disciples. See, this is the love that attracts others to us in curiosity, because this isn't a normal, manly, earthly love. And ultimately, it'll attract them to Jesus and to salvation, which is still the greatest reason that we're here today, is to help in the harvest. There's work to be done. So ask the Lord for help to love others like he does, because he's the source. This love comes from him. And if we don't get this right, this isn't going to happen. I can't love man if I can't learn to love God. And though we may fail and stumble to love perfectly like our King, I can promise you that he will never fail to love you perfectly, because he himself is love, and he will never fail to be who he is, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.